CHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast. CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with Chandler David Watson, Tracy McBurney's Incredible Energy Consciousness, Mikhail Mir's Financial Consciousness, and nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with Quantum Physics and Consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. It is the second Friday, so therefore, we have Tracy McBurney with us today.
Hello.
Tracy can be found on the web at Tracy McBurney. Thankfully, her website is back up. It's been up for a few weeks. Tracy, T-R-A-C-Y, McBurney, M-C-B-U-R-N-E-Y. So no E on Tracy, but an E on McBurney.com. And, you know, I know we always talk about this because I think it's funny that you really don't know what to call yourself. And I know that you call yourself an energy practitioner.
An energy medicine practitioner.
But you do so much more than that. But, yeah, it is even difficult to know what to call you. So I understand the dilemma.
It's even more difficult when people call to say, could you tell me what it is that you do?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, don't know actually until you get into my office.
Yeah. So today we are going to talk about something that Doreen Virtue brought up that that Tracy has kind of really taken to a completely different level, and it's called inner rebellion. Mm-hmm. I know that as soon as she said it, I went, oh yeah, I got
I got one of those. I got me one of those. And actually we found out there's actually two.
Yeah.
Both rooted in past lives, but we haven't actually researched that yet. Lori's probably sitting there right now going, thank heavens, because then it'd be all over the radio.
Oh, I guarantee it's going to be all over the radio before we're done today.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Maybe there'll be mercy and grace. Okay, well, I was listening to, I believe it was through the Aware Show. It was one of the free podcasts that a lot of these people do. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I came home on Wednesday night from my double day of teaching, and I'll tell you, I was not feeling well. And I got home that night, it's about 11 o'clock at night, and the only thing I wanted to do was go have a bath and go to bed. But I thought, all right, the responsible thing, I've been away all day, is go check my email before I go to bed. But I really was not feeling well. I get into the email, and I'm scrolling through, and there's just a few things that I have to address, and I'm glad that I did. And then I get to this Aware Show, you know, midnight, leaving at midnight, Doreen Virtue. And it didn't really say what she was talking about. I like Doreen Virtue, and I've heard her speak quite a lot at the I Can Do It show. And I like to give myself an opportunity to do that. But I'll tell you, I was feeling so not well that I was just about to turn off the computer and go, you know what? I'll find out about it a different way. I've got to let this one go because it's about now 25 minutes to midnight. And then very clearly, I get this transmission. No. Hmm. Open it up. Listen. And I'm having this conversation with my guides in my head going, are you kidding me? I don't feel well. And of course, I got this really nice voice back that said, open it up and listen. So I listen about 15 minutes into the talk. She's speaking and she delivers these two words put together in one sentence, inner rebellion. And it was like, like the whole energy just went off in my body. And I thought, I'm talking to my guide, is this what you wanted me to hear? Yes, it is. Do I need to continue to listen to the rest of this talk? Because I'm, yes.
Oh.
Okay. There were a couple of other things that I put circles around. If you've ever been in my office, I might take pages of notes and pages of notes, but it's the stuff I put circles around that you're kind of like going, what's a circle? What's a circle? There were two more circles at the end of that talk. I did listen to the entire hour, and I was very grateful to her and thankful that she had delivered that. And I signed up for her class. She had this radio class that she was offering, and I got told, you know, you need to purchase that. And I'm just going back. I haven't paid my Visa bill back to zero. Are you sure I need to purchase that? I don't want to purchase another thing on the internet that's a spiritual course that I don't need, that I won't get to in months. I just hear this very clear, you need to purchase that. And I heard it about three more times. And I did my prayers, made sure I was absolutely clear. Because remember, I'm not feeling well. So therefore, I'm very vulnerable to being inundated by negative energies because I'm really not sorted. And I'm testing. And it didn't matter which way I turned. I ended up pushing the button for buy now. And I said, okay, now have I completed all of the reasons why you wanted me to listen to this class? Yes. Fine. And I went to bed. I got up about 5 o'clock in the morning and I was inundated with information around inner rebellion. And it was, it's been fascinating. And it's been fascinating to deliver it to the several clients. Because of course, once you know something, then it's right there on your radar. And of course, where are you led the very next day or the very next day, but inner rebellion for one of your clients. So what I found for myself, when Doreen Virtue was speaking about this, she never created inner rebellion in her vocabulary as a plural. She spoke of it as inner rebellion to physical self. Mm. Now, I don't refer to my body as physical self, but I understood what she was saying. And I went, okay, I've had my challenges. We've talked about it. I think we've even talked about it on air. I still have my challenges with exercise, like physical exercise. We're not really friends. And I still have blocks that just, you know, I consider myself pretty savvy at this. And I just can't seem to touch these things. And I thought, maybe inner rebellion is the way to go. Like, maybe that's the piece. Well, what I found is that I had four inner rebellions, not one. Now, she never alluded to there being a plural for this, nor did she speak in that hour-long talk about inner rebellion actually grounding itself in past life. I was assuming that the inner rebellion would always be a this life experience and a reason why you were not in harmony with your physical body. This was all in relationship to her new course that she was selling that was around divine dieting, like this whole idea of this God energy coming into your whole experience of physical relationship with food, right? And I've loved Doreen Virtue for a long time around the way she sees these things. Losing Your Pounds of Pain was, I think, her first book. And the one that I keep bringing into classrooms all the time is Constant Cravings. Mm. So it wasn't a stretch for me to kind of push the buy now button. It was just kind of like, well, I'm not quite sure I can get that paid off my Visa to zero this month. It wasn't that expensive. But it was really me not wanting to kind of find my way into things that I shouldn't be in right now. So there's the four inner rebellions. And the first one that they showed me at 5 o'clock in the morning was an inner rebellion that occurred at a time in my history where a restaurant that I managed went into bankruptcy. Now, I knew that I had felt very badly about that experience, that I had deeply taken that in as my failure. Like, I know that. I had tried to market that restaurant. I had tried to sell that restaurant. I had tried to do everything to keep that alive. Anyway, the long and the short was very surprising. When I went inside and really started to investigate what that inner rebellion was about, because all four of mine were around failure. My failure to dot, dot, dot. And in this particular case, it was surprising. Because it wasn't my failure to keep that restaurant alive, which is what I had always internalized it at a conscious level to be. It was my failure to keep the family together.
Oh. Oh.
I'm a second born child. That restaurant in Yorkville was a family. Mm-hmm. Not only was it a family as in the people that worked there, as the entities that were employed there. Some of them had been there for a very long time, even longer than I had been. So it was a family from that perspective of staff, but it was a family from the perspective of all of the people that would find their way there, whether that was find their way there at lunchtime every day or every second day, or find their way there at 5 o'clock for cocktails, or find their way there at 10 o'clock at night after they'd finished a golf tournament. Like, it was really a neighborhood place in a funky place called Yorkville.
Right.
And then it got really much bigger in the summertime when the patio opened, and then you got everybody coming in from everywhere. But you still had this core group of family that were there lunchtime or dinner time or 5 o'clock time or evening time. Not always, always. Mm-hmm. That would be called alcoholic. But people had their own times.
Right.
And so I was really surprised that that's the way I had internalized it, my failure to keep this family together, and how deeply I had taken on that responsibility of that. Now, I knew years later I would meet what would be called regular customers from that restaurant. Now, this restaurant closed in 1996, so I transitioned out of that career at that time, out of the restaurant industry completely at that time. I would see them. I would meet them. I would see them at a mall or somewhere, and they would literally grab onto my coat or onto my arm or onto my shoulder or hug me so tight. And they'd look at me like almost with a level of desperation when I would see some of them. Where are you now? Where are you now? What are you doing on Sundays? What are you doing? What are you organizing? Hmm. In other words, we had great parties at that place. We had wonderful events. We had some really memorable summers out on the patio with live music playing in Yorkville. I had worked really hard at that time to build relationships with all of the condominiums so that the agreement was, let us play our music at this decibel level and we will shut it all down by midnight and totally cooperate with you. I mean, it was a massive endeavor to have that level of cooperation in that neighborhood, and we pulled it off. And so there was just this incredible magic on that patio in the summertime with, and it unparalleled, because I haven't seen it created anywhere since, and I search for it. Anyway, to meet up with those people and to see them still desperately looking for something to replace that bar with, to replace that place with, that magic with, those people with, and they were just, you know, kind of stranded and isolated and alone. And it wasn't just one. I would meet more than a few of them. So now that I look back, I sit there and say, wow, given that I had internalized that at that level about family, every time I met one of those people, imagine what that would have reinforced inside of me and inside of this rebellion. So it was interesting. I mean, I don't want to take up airtime to share with you all four of the rebellions. Some of them are a little personal for airtime streaming out through the United States. But it was very interesting to see that every single one of them, all four of them in this life, none of them about past lives, all of them this life, and all of them deeply internalizing my failure and my incapacity to live with that. My grandfather, who was the Air Vice Marshal in the Second World War, he had an operating system within him that I know he had, because when he passed away, he actually came into my body one night to drive me home from Ottawa in a snowstorm. And that's why I know the operating system, because I lived it for 4.5 hours while he was in my body driving me home. Mm-hmm. And it was operating system where there was no option for failure. Failure was not an option. And so I have said for quite a long time, I think one of the reasons why I kind of on autopilot seem to make some of the really good decisions around starting a business or whatever, just the intuitive good decisions, is because I have that same operating system for failure not being an option operating within me, my grandfather's operating system. But now I'm looking at this and going, wow. And that same operating system has given birth to four rebellions when I internalized that I had failed and then could not live with that failure.
Because you had that
operating system.
Operating system of failure is not an option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so given Doreen giving me that piece, I was like, wow, inner rebellion interferes with your capacity to maintain harmony with physical body, with physical self. It disrupts it. It corrupts it. One of my favorite things. It's corruption in the government. I'm always looking for my corruption in the government. I am no longer blaming the Canadian government for their corruption without looking at my own. No longer blaming the United States for the craziness of their corruption without looking at my own.
Right.
And anyway, so here's another piece of my corruption.
All right. Well, we will be right back and we will talk more about the inner rebellion because there had to be a point when you discovered it was past life. If you have any questions, if you're going through something and you're wondering if you have an inner rebellion, you can give us a call at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. I have Tracy McBurney with us. Tracy can be found on the web at tracymcburney.com, TracyMcBurney.com. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
CBS Radio, The Sky, and NewSkyRadio.com are presented only for entertainment purposes and are not responsible for choices and decisions made as a result of such advice or other information offered.
Rain, rain on my face. Hasn't stopped raining for days. My world is a flood. Slowly I become one with the mud.
But if I can't swim after 40 days, then my mind is crushed by the crashing waves that feel so high that I cannot fall. Lift me up, lift me up
when I'm falling.
Lift me up,
we can die. Flashing in the ocean, I'm losing control. Dark sky all around. Can't feel my feet touching the ground.
But if I can't swim after 40 days, then my mind is crushed by the crashing waves that beat up so high that I cannot fall to feel low. Lift me up.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends, and we're with Tracy McBurney today. And we're talking about inner rebellion. And, we got to the point where, you know, it's just interesting because your inner rebellions came up because you had this belief, which is a stronger than just a thought or fear, or I mean, not necessarily fear, but it's a belief. So it's a strong.
In this case, it was a rule. That was a family rule. That was connected to the family name. And so it was a rule. It's a rule that you live by. It's a guiding force that you live by. Failure is not an option. It was really interesting to be in my car driving home from Ottawa after my grandfather had passed away, after when I'd been there helping my grandmother with her own passing. Mm-hmm. And I was coming home in a snowstorm. And I think it was actually my grandfather that suggested to me, because he'd only passed 2 weeks earlier, suggested to me that I help him, that he help me to get home. Right. So those words came into my head. They were not my thought. And all of a sudden, I'm saying out loud in the car at the beginning of a snowstorm, first one in Ottawa. I could have left the following day. In fact, I was talking to myself about this, like, why are you doing this? Sleep on your friend's couch. This is crazy. This is the first snowstorm that we've had of the season. This is nuts. Don't go home. And then I heard the suggestion. And then I literally said, Papa, take me home. Mm-hmm. And he literally came into my body. And for the next 4.5 hours, I was understanding things about wind speeds and air tunnels and things. Like, I don't think like this. He was a pilot. Mm-hmm. And he's literally, he's gunning me past trucks on the fast lane track. In the snowstorm, because you don't want to be in this wind tunnel and you don't want to be here and you want to be ahead of here and you want, and I'm just like, are you kidding me? We're doing 120. And by the time I got home that day, I had been gripping the steering wheel so hard, my hands hurt. And I think I almost went into adrenal shock. Like, and then he left. Wow. But I totally understood it. He was so focused. His heart was closed. He was so focused on the goal. There was no part of him that in any way was entertaining the idea that he would not get there and that he would not get there safely. So he just got there safely and knew how to get there safely. He just knew it. And so he was teaching me and talking to me and telling me what it is that he knows. And then, of course, it all was gone. Yeah. when I got home. So to me, this was not a decision. I made a decision at some point, obviously, to follow this rule. But this was a rule. This was a way of life for being a member of this family carrying this name if you chose to comply with the rule. And clearly I chose to comply with the rule. And that was my decision. Like, I chose to comply with it. And from the moment that I decide that, who doesn't fail? Who doesn't fail at a task? Right. But from the moment that I decide to comply with that rule, any time that I do internalize that I have failed, that becomes what Dr. Homer, German New Medicine, would call an indigestible morsel. That's something I can't swallow. That's something I can't accept. That's something that's not allowed in this family. That is not available to me to be able to accept that reality. So that sets up a rebellion. That's what creates the inner rebellion, is the incapacity to be able to accept that that reality could have occurred. Right. And then it creates, I guess, what Doreen Virtue then suggests is a disharmony between inner self cooperating with physical body. In other words, you, the physical body, did not do what was needed to be done to be able to accomplish this task. Yeah, fascinating. Mm-hmm. The second failure that I was able to pick up was not a surprise to me either. It was something that I've talked about at great length. It was the birth of my son. Mm-hmm. It was the failing to deliver him in a natural way, failing to deliver him in what I considered the right way for him to be born. Not even having any kind of idea that the right way for my son to be born is the way he wants to be born. Right? And right. Clearly, he got born the way he wanted to get born, the way that his soul wanted to get born. And I cooperated by contract with that way. Hmm. But it was a terrifying way. And he was stuck sideways in my womb for a very long period of time. Nobody could turn him. Nobody could get him turned. And the way I internalized it was, I could not succeed. This body had failed. So this one was interesting because when I looked at the failure piece and when I looked at the rebellion piece, the inner rebellion was actually targeted to every single cell that I had seen as having any responsibility in the carrying of that child.
Oh.
And it was that part of my body that was targeted in the rebellion. Yeah, it was fascinating.
Mm.
So all of that had to be unlocked. And of course, when you're holding that place, you can't, those cells don't even get the concepts, the places that I've gone in the last 14 years with regard to that birth. They're completely oblivious to it. They're off in some level of separation. They're not getting the transmissions of understanding that are coming in because they're living in a separate world of rebellion.
Huh.
They're locked now in this rebellion. They're locked now in this war.
Oh.
So it's almost like they're operating. That's exactly what I got. They're operating those cells that are connected to that inner rebellion of that particular topic. They are operating in an illusion of separation that is not allowing all the new information and new levels of consciousness that I've come to around that time. They're not getting in.
Hmm.
They're not getting into those places.
Just holding on to the pain or the separation.
Yeah,
wow.
They're separated in the war.
Ah.
Yes, fascinating. It's fascinating to learn. Fascinating is my new favorite word for the last 10 years.
It's a good one.
I say it a lot.
It's better than challenging, and it's better than, I usually say interesting. So it's better than interesting, too, because, you know, it gives it a little bit more flavor. Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, fascinating. It's fascinating to research this.
It's just so interesting that we're so complex. You know,
we
like
are.
It's not, this is, whatever, for whatever reason, this is not an easy, it's not an easy life. It's not an easy, it, maybe easy is the wrong
now,
word.
Now, but, that would be a belief.
Right. Well, it just doesn't seem easy when you've got all of these other things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Busted.
To me, I feel like things are easier. I mean, this fell into my lap
right. At
exactly, I guess, what was to be the right time, because the very next day I needed this for this client. And I actually believe that the reason why I was sat down right then, I say to clients, I will not waste your money. I do not promise to be a completely healed Buddha, all light character. I do not promise to be that. But I do promise that I will have cleaned up that which I need to clean up so I can see clearly for you in a place that you cannot see from. That's all I promise. So I actually believe that since I said yes to the appointment for the client the next morning at 10 o'clock, that I needed to be sat down. I needed this to be seen because she needed this resolved. And I couldn't resolve it without seeing it for myself. And I know that to be true because it's in those times that I'm woken up at 5 o'clock in the morning where all of a sudden I learn something really quickly about myself and I'm taken somewhere on hyperspeed. And then I sit there sometimes and go, wow. And all of that got accomplished from 5 o'clock until about 9 o'clock in the morning and my client's coming in at 10:30. And so I'm in it. And out, I'm introduced to it, in it, and out of it by the time they get there at 10:30 in the morning.
Hmm.
That's why I know the timing was about her.
Right.
It was about me saying yes to that appointment, being put into that place on that day. Was it important for me to see? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It was as important for me to see.
Yeah, because you wouldn't have been able to take responsibility if you couldn't see it within yourself.
And it was my time to see it.
Right.
It was my time to address it. It was her time to address it. We came together like a perfect storm. It was, you know, it was lovely.
Right.
So
I don't know if we get to discuss that after our next break.
Oh, I'd love to. I'd love
okay.
to because her experience was very different than mine.
Right. All right. So we're going to go to break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tracy McBurney with us. Tracy can be found on the web at tracymcburney.com, TracyMcBurney.com. You're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries. NewSkyRadio.com.
to me. Slip me a napkin, and now let's start. Is this your name or a doctor's eye chart? Try and comprehend you, but I got a dyslexic heart. I ain't dying to offend you. I've got a dyslexic heart. Oh. Thanks for the book. Now my table is petty. It's a library or a bar. Between the covers, I judge you when ready. A half angel, half a tongue.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tracy McBurney here with us. We've been talking about inner rebellion, which I find very fascinating, besides the fact that as soon as you said it, I knew I had some. And...
You knew you were operating that way, did you?
Yeah. It just was like, oh, yeah. There's, I can see my two-year-old now, but apparently she's not just two.
She goes from back into another life. Which might not be your own lives, right? Like, just because we get, it could be your inner rebellion. Your inner rebellion isn't even your inner rebellion. It's an inner rebellion of your great-great-grandmother that you're still operating from because you haven't closed that down. In other words, you're following her guidance instead of following divine guidance. It's all about the freaking guidance that we're following other than divine guidance. It's screwing us up.
So clearly one of my lives is probably that. Okay.
Something tells me. Something tells me that it's not just about your lives. It's about lives that others have lived before you that you're complying with their rebellion.
Right. Okay. Good. Good to know.
Good.
Awesome. So you learned all of this.
So much fun.
Yeah, aren't we?
And I continue to learn because that hadn't occurred to me until I stared at you because it's actually part of your world.
Right. Exactly.
Mine were all real in this way.
Aren't you luckier?
I had enough to deal with in my life. That's hilarious.
It is. All right. So you learned all this because of a client who was coming in.
Because it was time for me to learn it for myself so that I could talk to you about it so we'd deliver it to everybody else. Okay, so this client was really interesting because her inner rebellion was quite different than mine. Her inner rebellion, and yours will be different too because now I'm really looking forward to going and finding out what's going on with your great-great-grandmother. But anyway, her inner rebellion was past life experience, and it was her past life experience. And so to go into that experience with her was really quite interesting. we got into that experience, and of course we got brought back into war, and it's interesting how many times I get brought back into war. We've been in war a lot.
We have.
But in this particular case, she wasn't on the battlefield. This is the first time I've actually been in a circumstance where somebody is in a past life and they're in a war, but they're not in a war. The way it played out is she was a rather effeminate boy who was pushed into war because that's just what you did. You were a boy, you go to war, and regardless of what his true nature was, regardless of where he was internally, you go to war. And so he was pushed into this war, and he was absolutely terrified to go into this war because he knew who he was. Like, he knew where his limitations were. He knew how sensitive he was. He knew of his effeminate characteristics. He knew he wasn't a toughie. And so there he was being pushed into this place. He made a decision before he ever even got to what would be called the war that he wasn't going to survive this.
Oh.
And from that place, there was a need to change something in him. In other words, if I'm going to survive this, and I don't think I'm going to survive this, I have to change who I am inside. Mm. Who I am inside is not going to fly there. And so before he ever gets there, he's already worked all of this into his system. Anyway, he ends up, because of course people there are recognizing him as effeminate and very slender and not very muscular, he ends up in the office. Oh. So his whole time in this war was in an office. Mm-hmm. And he is being battered and belittled and put down by this tyrannical army, whatever that would be, captain, major, whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that is his lot. Like, every day, day in, day out, it doesn't matter what he does, how well he does it, how well he doesn't do it, whatever. It doesn't matter. He is belittled. He is taken down. He is stabbed in the back. He is just put through the ringers. But this boy is very open to that experience because, remember, before he got there, he made a decision that I'm not going to survive this unless I change something in me. I have to change something in me to be able to endure this. And so he's letting the tyrant of that captain or that major stab him and try to puff him up, try to build him into a man. Mm-hmm. And that is what this tyrant is doing day in and day out for like the 5 or 6 years that he's sitting in this war zone working in this office space, trying to be that man, become that man, become that man that's going to survive the war. Anyway, fast forward, he does survive the war. And as I'm sitting there in that life, on the last day that he's, you know, separating from this tyrant, the wording that I heard, because remember I'm clairaudient, is, okay, pussy boy, time for you to go back to mommy. Time for you to go live back in mommy's home. Time for you to let mommy take care of you again, pussy boy. I guess we're done. Or that was his word and his nickname for this boy. Of course, my client is a woman in this lifetime.
Right.
So her nickname was Pussy Boy in that lifetime. And so it was all about his weakness. It was all about what he couldn't do, incompetence, incapability, and never really reaching that goal of manhood. We fast forward again. He gets home. Remember, he's still running the program. He's still running the inner rebellion. What's his inner rebellion? His inner rebellion is that he's rebelling against his true nature.
Oh.
And that became very easy to do because even before he went into war, when I was looking at that life, what he was feeling was, I'm not very normal. I'm not normal. I don't have a lot of friends. Don't know how to connect with people. He's quite effeminate in that time. So he's already feeling isolated, and then he's pushed into this war. So he has a desire to rebel against his true nature, to rebel against his true nature of kindness and caring and sensitivity and connection to emotion, connection to heart. He has a desire to rebel against all of that to be able to survive. Now, and to be able to live, right? Because before he left, it would have been to live. If he could just change this true nature, he might actually be able to have a normal life. when he's going off to war, it's rebellion against this true nature, so I might be able to survive. To survive and endure what's going to come from this war. So now he's out. Now he's home. What I see is that he starts to drink. Mm-hmm. He starts to drink. He has a uniform on. People know where he's come from. They make all sorts of illusions and assumptions about the kind of man he is, about what he's gone through. He keeps trying to tell them the truth. I only worked in the office. I only did this. People didn't want to listen. They're treating him like he's a bit of a hero. They're pretty proud of him that he didn't break any limbs, that he didn't come back with any limbs missing. And, you know, they're making him into something that he says, I didn't earn this. I didn't earn this. And he felt like a fraud. And so there he is in his isolating place again, this time isolated because he feels like a fraud, wants to distance himself from all of these people and from the opinions that they now have of him that are absolutely not true. Because to him, it's like he's insecure. To him, he's still that man that never accomplished anything. To him, he might be a man all grown up, but he never accomplished anything and he's pretty incompetent. And he's been beaten down by this tyrant, beaten down to a pulp by this tyrant. So he starts to drink. He starts to drink for all of those reasons. And what I see in that past life is him holding a bottle at one point, and he's absolutely inebriated, and he's talking into the air to this tyrant that he used to work for as that major, that captain. And he's saying, see, you should see me now. Look at me now. And he exits out of the life not too shortly after that. And that rebellion to true nature was still operating in this life. That rebellion to being kind and caring and sensitive and connected to the needs of others, all of that that was that boy before he went off to that war, was stuff that was still being rebelled against or not honored or not respected, not revered in this life, except in this lifetime she was a woman. So in this lifetime, she was having challenges with connection, challenges with partnerships, challenges with understanding people, connecting with people. Yeah, it was fascinating. And it was one of the reasons why that was because she had not healed that life, right? She hadn't put that life to rest. So she had in that lifetime connected true nature to isolation and loneliness. Because that's where it was before she ever went off to war, in that life. So by the time we actually finished, not only had we healed that inner rebellion moment, but we literally had brought so much light and love and wisdom and guidance to that lifetime so that we could collapse that idea that that kind of true nature existing within a body would then create isolation, would then create loneliness, would then create a life where her needs and her physical needs would not be met, and where she could not love this body, right? Because there was a non-loving of body, right? I'm in the wrong body. This is not the right body for me. This inner nature that I have, this true nature, is a female nature, and I'm in a male body, right? So all of this stuff started to dissolve and fall away as that lifetime started to be delivered into light. That was fascinating. So I have no idea. This was very new. I have no idea how this is going to play out for her. I told her what I'd learned from Doreen Virtue. I basically said, I don't know. I think this is a really important piece for you to do. I don't know if this is going to improve your capacity to care for your physical body. I don't know if this is going to change food choices for you. I don't know what effect it's going to have on life choices or openness. I don't know. So I am the scientist who's not wearing the white coat, who's really interested in the effects of this session, negative and positive. And so I send you away to observe. So I haven't heard the observations yet. But there was so much of that life as it brought up that so rang true for her in this one. Wow. as to what it was that she was still reliving as far as isolation and loneliness and really just feeling disconnected from people. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so we're going to go to our last break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. I have Tracy McBurney with us. Tracy can be found on the net at TracyMcBurney.com, TracyMcBurney.com. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Discover your spirit. Spirit Guide Radio, the Sky's newest network, is seeking spiritual guides who can help our listeners discover their spirit as a radio show host. If you are a professional spiritual teacher or metaphysician that can inspire and empower our listeners' spirit to fly high, Spirit Guide Radio Network wants to hear from you. Call Laura at 309-888-4589. We'd like to hear from experts who can spiritually guide our audience to live life fully, one caller at a time. We seek professionals in the field of tarot, numerology, feng shui, animal communication, exorcism, color therapy, medical intuition, positive witchcraft, neuropathic medicine, herbology, aromatherapy, shamanism, voodoo, reiki, or energy healing, channeling, ghost hunting. The sky's the limit. Spirit Guide Radio Network would like to hear your proposal for developing a radio show starring you. Call Laura at 309-888-4589. Spirit Guide Radio Network is also seeking guest experts to interview on our current shows on air. Call Laura 309-888-4589 today.
Drove downtown in the rain, 9:30 on a Tuesday night, just to check out the late night record shop. Call it impulsive, call it compulsive, call it insane. But when I'm surrounded, I just can't stop. It's a matter of instinct, it's a matter of conditioning, a matter of fact. You can call me Pablo, dog. Ring a bell and I'll salivate. How'd you like that? Dr. Landy, tell me you're not just a pedagogue. Cause right now I'm lying in bed, just like Brian Wilson did. Well, I had lying in bed just like Brian Wilson did. Oh. So I'm lying here, just staring at the ceiling tiles, and I'm thinking about what I think about. Just listening and re-listening, smiley smile.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends, and we have Tracy McBurney here today. We've been talking about the inner rebellion. We kind of finished up what Tracy wanted to talk about, so I thought, why don't we go into at least one of the two of mine, since we know that it's a past life.
And not only
it's a past life, it's not my past life. It's just what I've accepted and taken on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so the one that was easier to get to was, and the one that we investigated, was the past life that was connected into your family lineage. What I had forgotten, but Lori reminds me of, is that she was adopted. So when we are looking at past life connected into family lineage, we have to go to past life of birth mother. Even if you don't know birth mother, that's fine, or you don't know birth father, doesn't matter. You need to recognize that's where it comes from, because that's where the DNA imprinting comes from. Okay. So we went back there. What I found is I guess I was intuitively picking this up. It was great grandmother on mother's side of the family. Lori happens to know a few things about her birth mother, so she could fill in a couple of the details, but it wouldn't matter whether she could or she couldn't. I started to ask some questions about that, connecting into the divine, and I just wanted to go back and be with that woman. I wanted to go back and be with the presence of that spirit and that soul to find out what was the root of that inner rebellion. And because I'm clairaudient, I don't necessarily see pictures in my head so much. I really trust what's coming in as far as auditory more than anything and sensing. What I heard, I mean, it was a pissed off woman. Like, I connected in with a pissed off woman. And what I heard was, I have no voice. I have no voice. I am not heard. I have no power. And it was just like, it was just those three things. I have no power. I have no voice. I am not heard. And just such frustration. And frustration is really throat chakra stuff, right? So I told Lori, I told you what I'd found, and you could pull in a couple of pieces. So,
well, ironically, I guess not ironically, I mean, the belief was so strong that, one, there were only daughters born after that, and it started with one daughter who, 5 or 6, got red measles, became deaf. Now, that woman then went to a deaf school, married somebody who was deaf, and had 3 children, all girls. 2 of them were deaf. My mother wasn't. But my mother stayed in a deaf school until she was in her 30s. So all of them weren't heard, had no voice because they couldn't hear. My mother, who could hear, was still in a school for the deaf. So, I mean, she wasn't heard because there wasn't anybody there to hear her. So that's an interesting piece, because that's how strong that is.
Yeah, real frustration. So when I asked again, I said, you know, what is the root of this? How is this rooted? And I got not family, so it wasn't like rooted in my family name like mine was.
Right.
This wasn't rooted in family. This was rooted in female. It was rooted in the feminine. It was rooted in, because I am in this female body, because I am what you would call a woman at this time in our history, this is what you comply with. These are the rules and regulations around being a woman. These are the agreements. This is what you agree to coming in. If you're being cooperative and not rebellious, like if your rebellion archetype is not kicking up a fuss, then this is what you're saying yes to. And then I got that there was more than that. It was a cultural thing. So then you filled in the piece about Scotland. So which is where your mom was, your Born. Mom's family yeah. was from. I don't know much about Scotland at that time, but I'm going to now assume that there might actually be some truth there, that if we went back 3 or 4 generations, that might be exactly where, the reality for the Scottish women was, that, you know, they were less than the man. They were more maybe seen and not heard. I don't know. But anyway, it would be interesting to investigate, but that's what I got. So to me, it's almost like, so then I say, Divine, do we need more information than that? And no, we don't. So I like to keep things simple. You know, I think it was my brother that really had the genius IQ in the family. I couldn't pull in the amount of information that he could pull in and remember. So I like to keep stuff simple. And so to me now, what I would like to do with that is ask you to ask your divine. You can do that inside of your head, or you can do that out loud, the divine within yourself, that light within yourself, to enter into that time. to enter into that time in your history, to enter into that inner rebellion that still lives within you that you were not aware of until now. To enter into that inner rebellion.
I've heard her back, a few times.
Right back to its root.
Yeah.
Because you want to get right back to that great-great-grandmother, because this just is not about the healing of you anymore. This is about the potential healing for the soul of that great-great-grandmother to free her and free her soul from any imprint that might still be resonating from that time. Mm-hmm. So it's literally asking this divine to come in and make that right, bring that to resolution. Reconciliation is one of my favorite words. It's joining darkness to light. There's a lot of darkness in that. And what I think is really relevant is you've been really frustrated about something going on in your life right now where you really need people to hear you, where you really feel like you've had no power around this and that people aren't hearing you, or maybe they are hearing you, but no changes are being made. So therefore, maybe I'm being heard, but nothing's changing.
Right.
Therefore, I have no power to change things or transform things. Like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And so frustrating as these experiences have been for you, they are completely divinely guided because they are showing you inner rebellion. And I got to say, I didn't know about inner rebellion until, what is today?
Friday.
I was teaching on Wednesday.
Okay, so Thursday, Wednesday night.
Yeah, I found out about inner rebellion on Wednesday night. So right. This isn't bad.
No, very good.
You know, I can't meet you before I know how to meet you.
Exactly. Okay, well, Tracy, it's always a fascinating journey with you. Oh, look, I'm using fascinating instead of interesting. You're wearing off.
Excellent.
Tracy can be found with Intuitive Soul and Friends every second Friday of the month. And she can be found on the net at tracymcburney.com, TracyMcBurney.com. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.